Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today the interview is with actor Mr. Harsom James. Mr. Harsom James is an actor that's been acting a very long time. He's a veteran in his field. He's worked with Miss Debbie Allen. He's worked back as far as worked on Amistad with Miss Debbie Allen and Steven Spielberg. Mr. Harsom James, like I'm saying to everyone that's going to listen to this interview later on, is a veteran in his field. He's very well respected, very well known. He's great at his craft, and he's been acting since the 1980s. How are you doing, Mr. James?
I'm very good. How are you, Angela?
I'm doing good. You're famous for the Five Heartbeats, but you've been in everything.
Yeah, I wish.
No, you're very modest. You're very modest. I've been researching you for all day today, and I found you in TV Guide. I found you on Rotten Tomatoes. I found you on Internet Movie Database. I found you on Actors. I found you on ASCAP. I found you everywhere.
Uh-oh.
I found you everywhere. And so much you did, and so much acting that you have acted in, it's just amazing. You have not gotten your due. You even worked with Snoop Dogg and Malice, and you also worked in Malice in Wonderland. I mean, it's just so much that you did as an American actor. I mean, it's just Speed 7 and Seven's Prisoners and. And it's more than just several films. It's a whole career. You're famous for Big Red Davis and The Five Heartbeats, but you bet, Mr. Harsom James, I was seeing you in films even before I knew who you were.
Oh, yeah.
Even before I knew you, you probably been acting since the 1970s or 80s, for all I know. Seems like you've been acting since 1979 or 1980, am I correct?
Well, my first movie was in 79 with Rudy Ray Moore, a film called The Disco Godfather, where I was the lead bad guy. Yep.
The lead bad guy. Yeah, you've been at this a while. You're no amateur. You're a veteran. You're A-list. A-list. There's hardly anything you haven't been in. So,
I've been very blessed in the fact that I've been able to work. I've been able to make my living without a 9-to-5 since 1986. So, yes. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, you're very blessed. Like you said, you're very blessed. How does it feel, though, to be a working actor? There are a lot of people who can say that they're actor. A lot of people say they're actor, but a lot of people, not everybody can truly say they're a working actor. You can say you're a working actor. How does that feel?
Well, it feels wonderful because, like I say, I've been making my living doing this since 1986. There have been lots of lean times you know, you have to remember that you don't work all the time. You have to, you know, the money that you do make, you have to stretch out. And there have been times when I've been close to being homeless. It's those times, knock on wood, have passed now. But it feels wonderful to know that, you know, that I've been able to do what I set out in my life to do and actually make a living doing it. There are ups and downs as in all phases of life.
Your last film, I believe, was in 2022, am I correct?
Last film that was released, yeah. There are a couple of films I've done that haven't been released yet, but the last release one, I think, was released in 2022.
So you started acting in 1979 Disco Father, and you've been in Penitentiary to The Color Purple as a juke joint patron. You were Patty Hearst. You were 19, Patty Hearst is Tall Muslim, I'm Gonna Get You Suckers, One Eye Sam, Ricky One, Silver Shadow, The Camp, Othello, Lego, The Door, just Chuck Benson, The Five Heartbeats, just Big Red, Prophet Nat, as a Runaway Slave, Fraser, TV series, just Bill, Caroline at Midnight, as Stan Donovan, Speed, as Sam Martin, TV series, Brother Carl's, the list goes on, Stephen is, there's George.
Yeah, there are a lot of things. Those are things on IMDb. But there are also films that aren't on IMDb. Films that, you know, I've done several films where I was edited out of the film. So that's not a complete list of everything that I've ever done, but it's 80% correct.
You were in Heaven's Prison as Victor Romeo. Your Campfire Tales as Cole Segment, The Honeymoon Amistad in 1997 as Creole Crook. In New York, NYPD Blue as Calvin Chester, The Art of Bullet as Walter Simmons, Augie Rose as McDougal, ER as Hearthstone, Boston Up as Orange Juice, Hood of Horror. And the list goes on and
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it goes on, yep.
Hood of Heart, Stargate, SD-1, The System Within, Christmas Wedding, Lucky Girl, The Night Stalker, Blues for Life, and it goes. It's more than that. It's way more than that. That's just what's on internet movie. That's just what's on Wikipedia.
Right. Yeah.
That's just what's on Wikipedia. Then there's Internet Movie Database. There's Rotten Tomatoes. There's just you play. you're a working actor. You're a working actor. You didn't get your dues, though, to me. You have not got your dues. To me, you should have an Oscar or something by now.
But see, those things, Angela, mean very little to me at this, especially at this point in my life. I get my dues by people talking like you. When the general public knows who I am, I can go anywhere in the world and people will know my work. That I don't need other people to validate who I am and what I have done with my life. I'm not looking for those things. I mean, yeah, that's all well and good, but we live in the reality of a dual world. White people have what they do, and black people have what they do. And I'm, you know, white people don't need to validate me. I'm not looking for their validation. I'm looking for when I go out my front door and my people come to me and say, man, I like your work. Man, you have done your work. You have touched me. You have touched my mother. You have touched my grandmother. You have touched my uncles, my aunts, whatever it may be. Those are the things that I look for. I don't need those other people to validate me because that's not going to happen.
But according to
in today's world, that's just
no,
not going to happen. So I'm very happy
that
Angela Butler has asked me to come on her show. It's what I feel good about. So let's not get it twisted. I'm not that guy that needs to be validated by people who don't like us. Okay?
Yes, sir. I understand. They don't like me either.
All right. No. Anybody with any kind of pigment in their skin, people that aren't liked on this planet at this point, and we have to fight every day to turn that around.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm just honored that you're on Show Talk with Angela. But the last interview I did was with a lady that was in a mental ward a very successful black woman, sir, who found herself in a mental ward, a very educated, successful young black woman. You have been in so many things. It must be 100 things you've been in. But you're right. We don't get our – we have to create our own spaces and honor ourselves. And honor those like you, like I'm doing right now. People like you who have paved the way for people like me to have a show.
Yeah, and that's important to me. It's important to me that I keep trying to do my little part so that the people coming behind me won't have it as hard as I've had it. Hopefully they'll be able to stretch and spread their wings and do things that I have not been able to do, that I have not been allowed to do. Although I have to say there's very little that, those things that you just mentioned now are just film and television. That doesn't even count the theater that I've done. I've directed national tours of play. I've been in over 300 plays in my lifetime. You know,
oh my
so
God!
That doesn't constitute the body of my work. So yeah, people don't know everything. I've got off on the table today to write a book, to write an autobiography, which I am going to sit down and I'm going to do now, because I've got an offer of a publisher who will actually publish the book. That's the only holdback that I've had. And the fact that I say, oh, if I write it, then who's gonna publish it and read it and put it out there so people can actually see it? But now I've got a couple of offers, and so it gives me motivation to sit down and actually write. You know, every day of my life, every time I wake up, it's an exciting day in my life. But right now, not only the book. But I've got a new website at HawthorneJames.com. That's HawthorneJames, James, HawthorneJames.com, where I'm selling memorabilia, which is a brand new website that just came up two weeks ago. So you can go on there and browse around. You can see pictures of things that I've done. You can purchase, all kinds of things. I've got, T-shirts and oven mitts and tablecloths, all kinds of little goodies that you can go. And every month we're going to add stuff to it. And sometimes I'll even put little writings of what's coming out of the book coming out of there. So I'm having fun with my life.
You're
I
having
always
fun.
Have. Every day is fun for me. And I just care about other people having that opportunity. And I live my life by the saying, I don't be free till you be free. So, yeah, it's when you talk about me not getting the roses, no, I get my roses every day from people like you. And I appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you do. I appreciate the work that so many other black people do. That's what I care about. So, get it on. I want these children to stop having to suffer. This world is really screwed up at this point. There are children dying for no reason in this world, and this has got to stop.
Why are the children dying?
Why are they dying?
Well, you talking about from gun violence?
I'm talking about from the Middle East on. People,
the Middle East
everywhere. Gun violence here in this country. It's absurd. you know, people have lost their minds. Of course, people have, you know, this is just a reflection of what's been happening since the dawn of time. I mean, every civilization comes and goes to wars. It's like, wow, why is this necessary? Angela, we get 80 years if we're lucky on this planet. Why do we spend so much time trying to kill each other and maim each other?
I don't know either.
It makes no sense. It's insanity. It's insane that we go through this. You know, and I'm tired of it. I've lived through how many wars in my own lifetime? You know, I was born way after World War II, but then I go into, you know, I was, when I was a child, Korea was going on, then Vietnam, and now, you know,
Afghanistan.
Yeah,
Russia, and then Pakistan, Benghazi, Israel.
Yes, all of that, Palestine. I call it Palestine.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's
children are dying over there.
Children. But see, the thing about it is your tax money, my tax money is going to support that insanity. And I despise it. I hate it. I don't want my money going over there. I don't want my money at this point going to Russia, whatever that country's name is.
I think it should be put back in this country to help the homeless, the poor, black people.
We never have any money to feed children here in this country, but we can print money to send bombs to every place. You know,
they're talking about $61 billion plus a blank check.
Yes,
The war for Ukraine.
Yeah, Ukraine. Thank you. That's the country I couldn't think of. Ukraine. But you know, the thing about Ukraine to me is what pisses me off worse than anything about Ukraine is those people are racist.
They told
black people that were trying to get out of the country when Russia first started. They told black people get in the back of the line, white people first. Now you want me to send my tax dollars to help them? You got those people coming. You got Ukrainians who are coming over here, bringing their little racist ideas about black people, who we are. We built this country, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Without black people's labor, there would be no United States. We built this country. Now we're bringing more racists over here and not even saying, all right, so you want to send them money? Then tell those people, look here, you've got to address that racism that these people, this is black people's money that you're spending on war. How are you going to address that issue? At least address it. At least bring it out to, no, they never want to talk about us, but they don't care about us. All they want is our money, our labor. And now that the world is becoming automated, they really don't care about our labor because they can replace us with the robots now. You see how insane this is? So
yes,
we've
sir.
Got to wake up. We've got to understand what's going on. And in my industry, I care about doing projects that will bring enlightenment. I've been on TV. I've been in movies. I don't care about that stuff. What I care about is because most people get the idea of who we are from film, books, you know, television. They get those are the things that tell people who we are. And every time you turn the TV on, we're looking stupid. We're looking like jackasses. Well, I don't do that kind of stuff. Never have, never will. I've turned down millions of dollars. I don't care. All I care about, yes, you know, I play the bad guy sometimes, but in the same film, there are good guys of mine that look like me. So we have to have the balance. That's what I'm looking for, is the balance. If there's no balance, I'm not doing your project. If it's just about buffoonery, you can shove it where the sun don't shine. I don't do that kind of stuff. I want us, my grandfathers, my father were the greatest men that I know. I'm not going to put on screen where they're not great men. Now, like I say, I'll play the bad guy, but guys in that same film that look like me, that take care of business. And that's what I care about in this world. Money means nothing to me at this point. I have enough money to be able to live, thank God. Thank my ancestors that have worked their butts off to get me to the position that I am in. But I'm not selling my soul for money. And like I say, I've turned down millions of dollars.
You have turned down millions of dollars. Is that to act, theater, film, television?
That's
commercials.
Film and television, yes. And theater, too. Because I can't, I have a line that I won't cross. I don't use the N-word, and I don't put on a dress. Those two things have cost me a lot of money. In film, television, and theater. And I turned down at one time $1 million at one lump sum because of racism. I said, no, I'm not doing that.
Because you would not use the N-word.
No, well, that's not because of that. That was because of something else. But they didn't respect black people. And I said, no, you can shove it. And that was $1 million. And that's a whole different story I won't get into today. But, yes, I've turned down $1 million as a lump sum, plus all the other hundreds of thousands of dollars I've turned down because I don't do certain things. And it doesn't
bother me. You don't wear dresses and you don't use the N-word.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are other things that I won't do, but that's the hard line. I don't make black people look like buffoons. You know, if you think you're going to do some buffoonery, you got the wrong person. Terrence Howard is talking about all kinds of. You have to look up Terrence Howard. He really is speaking his mind nowadays. About the union, about what they have done to him as an actor. It's fascinating watching Terrence come out and start talking about that.
Terrence Howard, what did he say? I'm going to Google him right now. Keep talking, Mr. Hearthlong James.
Well,
Mr. James.
Terrence was talking about how the union is worthless, how the SAG union is worthless, which in a lot of, I absolutely agree, and a lot of, you know, quite a bit with him. He talked about how he got screwed when he was doing Hustle and Flow, how the studio took credit. He hasn't been paid for any of the singing that he did in that film. The studio took credit for all of it and got all the money. He made, I think he said, $15,000, and that's it. He's not received any money for the residuals or the royalties for the music he performed in that film. And there are several other films that he's gotten paid like $7,000. He got paid. He was the highest paid actor in the first Iron Man movie. And then all of a sudden, they wanted Robert Downey Jr. to get paid more than him. So they told him he must take a pay cut to less than Robert Downey Jr. And he told them to shove it. I respect him for that.
Okay. Okay. It says Terrence Howard sues the Creative Arts Agency, claims he received 30. This is one day ago. This is Afrotech on MSN. Hold on. It says that Mr. Terrence Howard, I call everybody Mr. and Miss. I'm trying to. They say I shouldn't do that during interviews, but that's just my way. Terrence Howard.
I respect that, and I appreciate
Terrence,
that.
I hope they don't put me down too bad about saying Mr. And I said on every interview.
Why would you worry about what other people think about you?
Well, I've been doing it 14 years.
So don't worry about what other people think. That's their problem. That is not your problem.
Mr. Terrence Howard sues the Creative Arts Agency, claims to be 30% to 50% less than what he should have per episode of Empire. Mr. Chance Harris. Yeah, that's what it said.
Yes, absolutely.
That he should receive the higher salary from Fox series Empire.
Yeah.
According to the Los Angeles Times, this is from MSN.com. The writer is provided by Afrotech. It's copyrighted. This is copyrighted. According to the Los Angeles Times, the actor portrayed Luscious Lyon on the television drama filed a lawsuit with his creative arts agency on December 8, 2023. Because he claimed he was encouraged to set up a lower salary than the industry standard while on his representation through the show's duration. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah. It became something that it wasn't originally set out to be because of the producer, and it became this whole animal that black folks decided, that's not what we signed up to watch. Make his own show. By bringing his own agenda to it, but Terrence, that was an extremely popular show at one time, and Terrence was sold down the river by his own agency, not respecting him, because he was making less money than other shows, who were less popular than that show was.
That used to be a real popular show, Empire.
Yes, and he didn't know it at the time. He was told that this was the standard, and then he did his own research in the recent years and in the years since the show, and he has found out that he was sold down the river by his agency. Straight up racism. White people getting paid more money.
I'm going to quote him, and this is copyrighted, everyone, from www.msn.com, from Afrotech. I'm going to quote Ms. Terrence. It's called, I can't say for certain that this was a racial issue, but I can't imagine another counterpart, a white counterpart with the same accolades, same recognition numbers that I had, receiving the low ball pay that I was receiving, he told the outlet.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, he the money that he received for the show was an astounding amount of money for the average person on this planet. But you have to put all things into perspective. If with the extra money that he had, he might have been able to do his own film, his own television, and bring more of his own people into the industry by giving them work, et cetera. He made a lot of money, but it wasn't the amount of money that he deserved the way the industry was working at that time, the way the industry works now. So you can't just say, oh, man, he ought to be happy. He made a lot more. He made more money in 1 week than I make in 10 years. No. He deserves to get paid that money. You deserve to be paid that money. And if we just settle for what they give us, y'all's about guys happy what you give to me, then we will never advance.
They're just trying to take my show again. I had the queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Here comes somebody else trying to take Show Talk with Angela Butler when I started my show again. Show Talk with Angela Butler 6 or 7, 5 or 6 or 7, 8 years ago. Got all these interviews, and here comes somebody else sending me an email trying to steal my show. Trying to steal my show. All the hard work and years, I've been at this 14 years. And then somebody says, well, you know, they're going to be using my show on their platform, and I should be honored. They just
show
steal
me
my
money.
Stuff.
Nah, you want to honor me? Show me my money. That's how you honor me. And give me my props. Give me my due.
They just steal my stuff online,
yeah.
on the internet. My show is internet, sir. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Spreakers. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, and I don't get paid.
No,
I'm on YouTube.
At a point,
I'm on
you
YouTube, on Blog Talk Radio. I'm on ASCAP. I'm on BMI. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Spreakers. I'm on iHeart. I don't get paid. They don't
give
me anything.
And other people get paid by doing the show. So you have to start getting paid also.
They're not paying me.
Well, that has to change because they get paid. The YouTube and all those things that you just mentioned, all of those are getting paid. They're billionaires who own those things, and it's all off the backs of all the Angelas who are out there doing their shows. They couldn't exist without you and Joe Blow and Naimi and Frederick and all the rest of the people who are putting out shows. They couldn't exist. So you have to get paid what they get paid, some of what they get paid. It's only fair. But this world, these people in this world aren't fair. They're not about fairness.
I've been doing this 14 years, and they tell me I should get paid through promotions and sponsors.
Yeah, well, they're getting paid.
Blog Talk Radio, that I'm doing this in, they don't pay me.
Yeah, YouTube is a billion-dollar company, multi-billion-dollar company. All the rest of the companies that you named, and if they only exist because of you. So there has to be
YouTube 8 to 10 years, and I don't receive royalty checks from them.
Yeah, well, that has to change, Angela. You have to fight for that, and everybody that listens to you has to understand that you have to make a living. You have bills to pay. You have to eat. You have to go to the store, and nobody's giving you free broccoli. So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And those are the things that I care about. Those are the fights. Those are the battles. And those are the things on film and television that I want to be able to do, is to reflect Angela's battle for her life. Angela's battle for her, for the fairness doctrines that should be running around. Those are the things I want to see. Those are the things we have to talk about. We can't just talk about things that don't matter. We have to start speaking our truth. And if they don't like it,
YouTube creators just sent me some
damn.
Come out. This is your year review, but they've been blocking my content. And so they block some of my things sometimes, but they haven't blocked it lately. I mean, YouTube creators, just the Angela Butler, your 2023 year in review is here. Celebrate all you've done this past year and share with your fans. And I've been on YouTube about 10 years, 8 to 10 years.
And it's not undoable that we can start our own YouTube. If we just need people to believe in each other, there's money out there. Black people, at one point, it's more now. If black people in this country alone were their own nation, we'd be the 10th highest grossing nation in the world. In this, at least, I think now it's like the 8th. But we have to start believing in each other, and that's what I'm here to talk about. That's what I'm here to say. That's what I'm spreading, that word. Stop talking about what we can't do and start talking about what we can do. Because if we only talk about negative things, we'll never get anywhere. And yes, it's hard. Yes, it's not going to happen tomorrow morning. And yes, it's probably not going to happen in my lifetime. But I don't care if it happens in my lifetime. I care about those kids, the children that come after me. That's what I care about. And yes, Angela, they could come after me by misinterpreting what I'm saying to you right now. I don't give a damn. Let them come after me. Because they're fearful of me being able to say what I need to say because of the fact that it might raise the awareness of people. It may start that revolution. Anytime anybody doesn't go along with what they say, they have to try and squash it because they're afraid. They're the most cowardice people on this planet. And we have to stop being cowards fighting for ourselves. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And that's what I have to say about all of that.
Yes, sir. Now, you've been 300 films. Do you know how many TV shows and 300 theater plays? Do you know how many television shows and films you've been in?
Oh, I don't know. I don't count them. It's like 50, 60 movies, maybe 30, 40 television shows, guest star. You know, I have no clue. I know I've been blessed. In fact, it's, like I say, I've been making my living doing this since 1986. There have been some bad times, but I've been able to fight through them. And I have had myself personally had several friends and family who have gotten me through the bad times. Those people I will never forget. When I was struggling, they came through and said, we're going to make sure that you get through that. So, you know, it's like, wow. Oof. Thank God for family and friends. They got me through it. Thank God for my wife right now who helped with, you know, didn't even know what she didn't. I didn't know what she was going through to help me. She was out there doing pawning things to make sure that I had that bills that I had were paid. And I did not know that. I didn't ask her to do that. She did it. It was only after years after that I found out what she was actually doing to make sure that I was getting through this life. And you think that I will ever forget that? Oh, no. And the other people.
So how long have you been married, Mr. James?
Married is maybe 4 or 5 years now. But I've been with her for 8 to 10 years now.
Good. Congratulations, Mr. Harson James. Why did you change your name? Your name was James Harson, Mr. James Harson.
My birth name was James Hawthorne, but when I joined the union, at that time when I joined the union, you couldn't have the same name as somebody else who was in the union. So there was already a James Hawthorne in the union. And I didn't like to, you know, James H. Hawthorne, I didn't particularly like. And it's hard for people to put initials in names. And I didn't want to lose my name. So I just flopped it. It became Hawthorne James. And then on top of that, the bonus, Angela, the bonus to that is if somebody writes me a check that says Hawthorne James, I just put a comma behind the Hawthorne and it becomes James Hawthorne and I can go to the bank.
That's funny. I want to act. I've been trying to act for a while. I started out before I did Show Talk with Angela Butler and the Angela Butler Show and the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. I've had 3 different shows, and they keep stealing them from me. They didn't steal. Well, the Queen of Angela Butler Show I own jointly, even though the guy never put in a cent with it or anything. And, you know, somebody see you doing something, you're doing it out of passion, and you're doing it because you love it. Sometimes they take advantage of you.
Yeah.
They see something you can't even see in your own self. But I forgot what I was saying. Oh my goodness. But anyway, I was going to say that I agree with you about black people should not necessarily crave the accolades from white people.
No,
I also, such as the Oscars, I believe black people should recognize each other, such as I'm recognizing you and thanking you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler, because you are a great actor, without a doubt, a strong actor. Many would have put on a dress. Many would have used the N-word, and I'm not putting anyone down, sir. I'm not putting anyone down.
I don't want to put anyone down either. I said,
it's just,
I
you
said
got
that's
standard.
My line.
That's
I'm
your
not
standard.
I'm asking you to have my line. I'm asking you to have a line. Now, it would be wonderful if we all stopped doing this nonsense. I would, you know, because I would love to be able to have everybody do it, but at least have your own line. At least be strong and
say no. Have something you won't do to something.
Because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Exactly.
So stand for something. Yours is not using a word or putting on a dress. Somebody else may be something else.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
it's like I haven't watched the NFL in 5 or 6 years now. Ever since Kaepernick, they threw Kaepernick out of the NFL. I said, I'm not supporting you. Why should I support you when you're not allowing a black man to have a job because he supports me? So, but that's not, I mean, most black people don't feel that way, apparently. But I'm not watching it. If I'm sitting in a room where people have the game on, or if I'm sitting in a bar, with people, I won't even look at the screen. I refuse to do that. You can't make me do that. I refuse to support somebody who's not going to support me. As a matter of fact, who does everything they can to bring down the person who actually was fighting for me. And that's what they did. They brought down a man who was trying to fight for me. And I'm now going to support those people? Oh, no, you got the wrong one, partner. And I don't care if anybody else does it or not. That's not my problem. I do it. I will do it for other people. I do it because I feel that it's right in my heart.
It's right in your heart. All right, so how do you feel about reparations? Do you believe that people like me are chasing up a tree, because there has been some reparations, talk of reparations in California and places like that? There's been a reparation committee. Do you think people like me are chasing up trees?
No. We are those who have foundational black Americans deserve that money. There has to be a gap, but we have to fight for that. They're not going to just give it to us. I mean, there was some place in Illinois, I think it was Northwestern, in a suburb of Chicago, I think. I can't remember exactly. They gave people like $15,000. Now, here's your $15,000. Now go away. What is $15,000 going to do? You can't even buy a car with $15,000. And yet they think they're doing something great. You're not doing a damn thing. My 40 acres and a mule, in whatever aspect that comes in as, which means that it's the land, the value of the land that is to this day. Look at South Carolina, North Carolina, where the Geechee and the Gullahs, they're still stealing their land. They're stealing those people's lands and making $1 billion of profit off those people. Stealing their land.
And that's where?
And the Gullah Geechee people in South and North Carolina. There are people that I know, black people, who own land that has oil on it. They have been chased off of that, and that oil has been stolen. And they're chasing those people, trying to hunt those people down, trying to kill them so that they can't get, they don't have any rights to that land and to that oil. We have to open our eyes and see what's going on in this world.
That's here in the United. That's here in America. It's not united
right here,
about this country.
Right here.
There's a lady that was butchered. They're butchering people in those prisons and castrating them and sterilizing them and doing in prisons and things. And then they do that with the land. This is horrible.
This is horrible. And yet you want me to go over and care about other people. You want me to care about Ukrainians before I care about my own right here. No, you got the wrong one, partner. And I will do everything in my power to rectify that. I mean, I'm just one little simple voice shouting into the wind, but I'm going to shout. I am going to shout. And I'm going to say what I feel. I'm going to at least voice my opinion. And there are other people, from James Baldwin to Martin Luther King to Malcolm X to Harriet Tubman to Frederick Douglass. There are people who have shouted, and I will continue to shout for them.
And this would make me feel bad about reparations. We shouldn't even have to really ask for it. We got to fight for reparations. California is supposed to get reparations. My heart says, my heart is hoping.
Yeah,
the way this country is, the country, $5 million, something about Tayshia Ann before 1900.
Yeah, well, we'll see what they're talking about, because I'm not aware of what they, I've heard something about California, but I'm not aware if it's going to make people whole or not.
It's $5 million, and 97,000 to they died, the citizens of California. But I don't think it's gonna pass. I don't think it is, because they're so prejudiced. That's my true opinion. They're so prejudiced.
Everybody gets reparations. Everybody but us has got reparations. The Japanese
everybody,
got reparations.
Yes. Everybody
has. The quote-unquote Native Americans got reparations, although Native Americans is one of those things where it's been so, it's so, makes my skin crawl sometimes, because you got white people who bought their way into Indian status. They call them $5 Indians because
And Gavin Newsom, the governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill in 2 credits, state wealth to study reparations, and they finished studying it, and they're saying, you know, and you know, white people have no business being jealous of black people and saying black people don't deserve money because they don't have money. White people don't have money because they have their skin color. They have their race. They have their race. They have being white.
They have everything in their corner. They have everything in their corner. Nobody's trying to chase them down. Nobody's trying. I mean, if you look at them, they can spit at the police. They can do whatever they want, and still nobody's going to shoot them. If we look cross-eyed at police, we get shot. Nobody's stopping them from going in for education. Nobody's doing anything. I don't want to hear that crap. I don't own no slaves. Well, you have benefited from your ancestors that did own slaves, and you continue
the lady
to benefit.
That came on my show. I don't know if you listened to my interview, but she was butchered at 14 years old. She was raped, and she kept her baby. And they butchered her because she was black and poor and female.
Yes. And cut her up.
Cut her
yes.
up.
And
that's you heard
still
what
going on to this day.
And it's still going on to this day. You heard that interview. So I'm telling you, this and they still say black people don't deserve reparations. This is crazy. They make people want to leave this country.
Insane. They're insane. And they don't give a damn about us or anybody. All they care about is themselves. You got people coming from all these countries all over the world who are coming here, who are benefiting from labor from the country that we built off our backs and never got paid a penny for. And then they want to come down and look at we went and fought in Vietnam for their freedom. Now they come over here and look down on us like we are nobody. And we died for their freedom. And they have nerve enough to come over here. The Koreans, the same thing. Black men went over and fought for Korea for their freedom. And they come over here and they look down on us. You better get the hell away from me. And all the rest of you, the died for the freedom of this country to get away from England was a black man. And yet you don't hear anything about that man. He was the first one who died for this country. And in every war, I have white people come up and say, well, we fought for your freedom. We fought for slavery. We did this. We did. No. If it wasn't for black people fighting in the Civil War, this country would be divided, because black people took the balance of power when Abraham Lincoln said, yes, you can come into the war effort. Black
and I recently found out that President Abraham Lincoln's son, Mr. Lincoln, did everything he could. Son did everything to stop the porters from being treated like human beings on the trains, on the Portman's trains.
Yes. And we can go on and on and on about this, but you can't fool me. We are owed, and we have to be paid for what we are owed. 400 years plus and counting. We are owed. And this country has, and I don't want to hear about this country have no money. Every time you turn around, they can pour billions into Israel. They can pour billions into the Ukraine. They can pour billions into this, billions into that. But you can't pay me? Get the hell up out of here. You got the wrong one. You got people running around here with yachts bigger than a block. And that's not just one person. That's thousands and thousands of people. With those kinds of that kind of luxury, but you can't pay me. Get the hell up out of here. You got the wrong one, partner.
That's right. That's right. You owe black people reparations, even the black people who don't want it. You still owe them.
If they don't want it, then give it to somebody who does want it. Well, you go
the
away.
Black people who don't want reparations.
Yeah, they're stupid. They're brainwashed idiots. And I'll tell it to their face. You're a stupid, brainwashed idiot. You're a bootlicker. Massa. You love you some massa. Go away. Leave me the hell alone and let us fight for those that have a brain in their head.
That's right. Black people deserve reparations. And congratulations on your last film. Congratulations on your last film. I'm glad that it was a success, your last film. I don't know what your new projects are, but I'm glad you agree that there should be reparations. I agree that there should be reparations. I'm honored to have you on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm gonna fight for that pay. I don't know how where I'm gonna start at. Because it's been almost 14 years. Well, I'm going to start somewhere.
Yes, you have to start somewhere. Exactly, Angela. You have to start somewhere.
So I don't know where I'm going to start, but I'll start somewhere.
And never give up.
I'm
never,
registered with ASCAP and BMI, so and nobody's paying me.
Never let anyone tell you to give up.
I won't.
Because as soon as you give up, they win. And I'll be damned if they win.
Yes, sir. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I had a couple more questions. Not just about reparations. I wanted to ask you, what was it like working on Alma Star back in 1997? Can you remember that far back?
Oh yeah, I remember things as a child, Angela. 1997 ain't that far away.
Okay.
It was an experience. It was very, but that was one of the disappointing films, because that script was 160 some pages long, which translates into a movie that's at least 3.5, maybe 4 hours long. So. What they had to do was whoever was the powers that be decided that the movie can only be 2 hours and 5 minutes, 2 hours and 10 minutes. So they cut the movie down, and it became a courtroom drama. All the stuff on the Amistad was cut. I was on the Amistad. I'm the one who started the revolution on the Amistad. All that is gone. You'll never see that. So it was great being able to work on the film, but at the same time, the film is not what it's supposed to be. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something Spielberg told me. Spielberg told me at one point, he said, when we put it on TV, we're going to put all that footage back. Well, the movie didn't make a lot of money, so they never bothered to do a full cut of the movie. So you never got to see the real movie. Amistad, you got to see the courtroom drama where white people became the saviors. You never saw the black people who fought for their own, who fought and won battles on that Amistad ship. You missed all of that. But But that's what we always get cut out of our history. We get, especially when we're fighting for ourselves and we win. Those Africans won the day on that ship. They beat those people, but we never get to see that. So, yeah, I mean, it's great to be in a movie, but at the same time, it's not the movie that it could have been, not the movie that we should have seen. I don't care about the courtroom drama. We should, if they want to cut something out of it, cut the courtroom drama and just say they were freed. But let's see them fighting for their own freedom. So, yeah. And in that respect, and that's one of the reasons that I decided that I have to fight to become my own director, that I have to direct my films, I have to write my films. And I've been writing and trying to direct stuff, but people don't give you money. I mean, I could have made a lot of money if I was writing about kids killing each other. But that's not what I write about. I write about black people who are fighting. And at this point, you can't raise money to show black people being heroes. To do that. So yes, that's what it was like being an Amistad. Yeah, I got a check, but it's not the movie that it could have been. So what's your next question? You said you had one more.
I had one more. Yes, sir. How do you feel in this day and age about digital? About the internet and all those things. Do you think it makes it better or do you think it makes it worse?
About people
to get paid with the writer's strike and with all that all being over with, the strikes and things being over with. How do you feel as an actor?
Well, those strikes had nothing to do with me. They're fighting for Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise. They're not fighting for the everyday actor. So the bottom line is, you know, yeah, great strike, but you still, one of the sticking points was the artificial intelligence, the AI, about using your image. Well, what they can do now is you have to sign a contract that says that they can use your likeness forever, and if you don't sign the contract, you don't work. They'll find somebody who is willing to sign the contract. For little or no money. So the strike didn't help me.
Okay. All right, okay, the strike didn't help you, so they can use the image forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, because you have to either you sign away your rights to your image or they'll find somebody who will. So what are we striking about? Instead of the union saying no. If they don't want to sign, they still have to get the job. Or you have to pay them a lot of money. The little bit of money they're talking about paying people is nothing. So there it is, Angela.
So all this I've been seeing in the news really wasn't what I thought it was. It was not about what
no,
I thought
the union
it was
will
about.
Sell you out because they're in bed with the same people. That's my feeling towards it. They're not fighting for the little everyday people. They're fighting for the people who make money, who don't need the contract.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's what's happening on Show Talk. With Angela Butler, everyone. I guess I thought it was something else. Mr. Hawthorne James. I was watching the news media. You know, I don't act that much. I may be in something every other year or two. I may be in a film or something or a documentary. So I didn't realize. That it was not helping the writers and actors and actresses and people. I did not realize that. Thank you for explaining it to me.
But you know, you have to do your own research. I mean, the internet is a blessing and a curse. So use the internet and do your own research. Find read things. Find things to read that aren't being taught to you by the dominant culture.
Yes, sir.
I did do
some of that, but I thought people like you were going to benefit. Also, you and Mr. Terrence Howard, men like you, who I respected, mine grew up watching on television. Who I'm not that much younger than you either. I'm not that much younger than you because I'm 53.
Well, that's okay.
But, so I'm not that much younger than you.
To me, is you can't count on the networks because the networks are part of the problem also. The MSNBC is just as bad as Fox in a lot of ways. They want to pretend. They want you to tell you, oh, yeah, we tell you the truth. You're lying. All of you lie because you have to play the game.
That's what my sister said. I have a sister who worked for the president, and she says the media lies.
Yeah, they lie all the time.
I have a brother that's an attorney.
Yeah.
They say they lie.
My sister said
you cannot believe what you see on television.
No, you can't.
She doesn't even own a TV. Can you believe that? No TV.
Oh, yeah. I ain't
just
mad
computer
at
them. And internet. I don't have cable.
It's the only reason I have it is because I need something to take my mind away from things every once in a while. So I don't watch anything new. I watch old shows. I watch shows from the 60s and 70s that I don't have to worry about so much propaganda.
How do you feel about I'm going to go back to this Israel and Hamas, and then I'm going to end the show. How do you feel about Israel? And how do you feel about Pakistan? How do you feel about the war that's going to, and the 1,400 people that were murdered by Hamas?
Are you always talking about the 1,400 people that murdered by Hamas? What about since the 1940s, all the Palestinians that have died in Israeli jails, all the Palestinians who have lost all their land, who can't raise, who every time they try and grow an olive tree, they get cut down. I'm not talking about Hamas.
So we're not
talking about
current day time. We're talking about hundreds of years of a history of them murdering other people.
Yes, but all people want to talk about, Hamas did this, Hamas did that. Who, number one, who is Hamas? Nobody ever says a name. Hamas is a political party. That's like mentioning the Republicans without saying Trump. That's just the Republicans. No, you got to give me names. What are they doing? Let me end by saying this. I'll just say this. If someone were to come into your house and tell you to get out, it is now my house. You have to get out. You can have that little corner, where you have to live outside. And we won't allow you to have a job. We won't allow you to raise food. We won't allow you to educate your children. Would you do? What would you do? That's all I need to say. What would you do?
What would I do? Okay, I get it.
No planes. You have no tanks. You have rocks. And you're fighting someone who has planes, tanks, who has body armor and everything else. What would you do? And stop the nonsense.
Look at hundreds of years of this.
Yes.
Okay.
It's got to stop.
All
right, babe.
All right. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. All right, everyone. You've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today, the interview is Mr. Harthlon James. I hope you enjoy the interview. Those of you who go back and will listen to this interview, we've covered a variety of subjects. I revealed some things I had not revealed in the past, like not being paid for doing Show Talk with Angela Butler by YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, iHeart Radio, Spreakers. But that's okay. I have over 200,000 people who looked on LinkedIn.
Well, I will ask. I will ask the people to just go on HawthorneJames.com and see and look around. Okay.
All right, go to Hawthorne James,
James
and look around.
Com.
Okay, HawthorneJames.com. Look around, and he's got a website up, and he wants you to go and buy his merchandise and see. And you know, people, this is a legacy here. Mr. Hawthorne James is a legacy. He paved the way for a lot of people. He opened doors for a lot of people. He opened doors for me to have a show talk with Angela Butler just by staying in the acting business and being persistent. He says he's been over 300 theater plays. So you're talking about actor. You're talking about talent, sheer talent.
Okay. All
you're
right,
talking
Angela,
about talent.
Thank you so much for having me, babe.
Thank you, Mr. Hawthorne James. We're talking about sheer talent, everyone. When you talk about Mr. Hawthorne James, you're talking about talent. You're talking about intelligence. You're talking about something that goes all the way back to 1979 when you talk about Mr. Hawthorne James. And I'm grateful that he was on Show Talk with Angela Butler. All right, everyone, have a good night.